Thank you, Keith. Good morning, everyone. Very, very nice to be with you again. It's been a little while. Absolutely gorgeous drive down. Could have kept on going. Very, very nice. Now, our brother Keith has just asked us a moment ago to repeat a verse, which is probably the most well-known. I want to ask you something. Who can tell me the first verse of Psalm 23? Anybody? Please, let's hear you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Here's another question. If I asked you to give me the first verse of any other psalm, could you do it? Probably not, and that's not a criticism at all. Folks, we know from reading God's word that God has many, many names and titles and offices, phrases associated with his person. There's a great reason for that. You just can't describe God with one word. He's too great. He's too big. And the many, many names and titles and phrases that we come across in his word, they reveal to us his fullness, his vastness, his magnificence, his greatness. We simply come to know him more personally by these different names which teach us about him and his works which manifest him to us. Now, to go through all the names of God in the scriptures and all the titles, that's a work of a lifetime. So get started, and it's certainly worthwhile. But of all the phrases and names and titles of God, I would suggest to you that the one that you quoted to me, the Lord is my shepherd, I would suggest this morning that's the most well-known and widely known of all of them worldwide and throughout history. Now, you may disagree with that. You're totally free to do so. But why do I submit to you this morning that quite possibly that's the most popular name and phrase of God at all? The answer is kind of interesting. See, folks, the thing that has made this phrase more popular, more widely known than any other, is at the same time the most least likely and the least welcome of all circumstances. It's death and funerals. That's what's made this phrase more well known, more popular than any other phrase or name of title of God in the scriptures. Of all the scriptures that are said at the time of a funeral, and I've preached lots of them, this one is more often than not quoted, even at the funerals of those who know not the Lord, even still at those times, they'll quote Psalm 23. Why is that? Well, it seems to me we better read it. Please turn to Psalm 23 in your Bible. Psalm 23, very, very blessed, I hope to you, very well-known words. The Lord is my shepherd, shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why is this, I suggest, the most popular of all? Quite simply, folks, God is spoken of here as no one else can be. And he's rightly spoken of in this circumstance as absolutely no one else can be. Let me give you an illustration. In Mark chapter 5, the Lord Jesus does what he does on many occasions. There's a great crowd of people around him, rightly so. They're hearing truth from him. He's healing. He casts out demons. He feeds people. So rightly so, there's a crowd around him. And on this particular occasion, a leader comes up, a prominent man, and kneels right before him, which a leader in those days in public would never, ever do. He falls right before him and says, "My little daughter's at the point of death. Come and heal her." And Jesus says, "I will." But on the way, as I mentioned, there's a crowd. There's lots of people. You can't get through quickly. And there's someone else in that crowd who needs healing too. There's a woman who's been sick for years and years. And the Bible records that she spent all that she has on doctors and is no better. But she believes, like this ruler does, he says, "My daughter's at the point of death, but if you get there in time, you can heal her." This woman believes, "If I can just touch the edge of his clothes, I can be healed." And she does. And she is healed. But all that takes time. You see, the little girl who was at the point of death, she's not at that point anymore. She's gone. Someone sadly brings the terrible news to this man, says, "Listen, your daughter's died. No sense troubling the master anymore." But Jesus says, "Don't fear, only believe." And he takes those parents where no parent wants to go. He takes them into the room where that child is, and he raises her to life. You see, that's why this is so glorious. Look at verse 23. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me." Psalm 68 says, "Our God is a God of salvation. To him belong deliverances from death." John 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Revelation 1, "I am he that liveth and was dead. I'm alive forevermore." You see that verse that men confronted with the unavoidable reality of their own mortality, realizing too that every support and prop they've ever known is no help at that time, who have all their lives tried to put that day out of their minds, out of their thoughts, and realize at this point, "I can't do that anymore. It's here." And they realize, either to their comfort or misery, there's just one who can help at this time. It's the Lord, our shepherd. Now, why do you think David himself, who wrote this, why does he refer to God in this way? If you've read the Psalms, on other occasions, David refers to God as our fortress, our shield, our defender, our refuge, and many such other things. Moses in Psalm 90 says, "God's my dwelling place." So why does David here, now, call the Lord his shepherd? Like, what's he mean by it? Or what comfort, what help does he derive from it? Well, folks, it's really important to remember that David, who wrote this, was a shepherd. Like, he knows the job firsthand. So it's interesting that he's the one who does this. You remember when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king, he told him of David. He said this: "He's the youngest. He's keeping the sheep." Keeping and shepherding is virtually the same word. And when God said of David, he says, "I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep." Keeping or tending means to pasture, to graze. I don't have to explain that here in this country. It involves oversight, direction, nurture, protection, deliverance. Again, David knew it firsthand. You remember later in his life when David heard about Goliath and all the armies of Israel afraid and no one would fight the giant. And David goes to Saul and says, "I'll fight him." And Saul, who himself was quite a large man, looks down at little David and says, you're kidding, right? Like, you really think you're going to fight the giant? What did David say? David said, "Your servant used to keep the sheep of his father. And when a lion or bear came, I took him and I slew him and I rescued the lamb out of his jaws." You see, David knew the job firsthand, and David saw in his care of the sheep a picture, a portrait of God's care of his people. And that's why he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." You see, folks, that's why this truth is so dear to so many people. You see, this conveys God's care of his own to us. And notice what flows from it. Because the Lord's my shepherd, what happens? What's the result? The result is I shall not want, I won't be lacking in my life. I'll have everything I need because God is my shepherd. Turn for a moment, please. We'll look at a couple of portions. Look at Psalm 121. Is the Lord really our shepherd? Is David just writing nice poetry here that sounds nice? Or is it really true? Psalm 121 will help to answer this. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. Notice he who keeps you, shepherds you, will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun won't strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. It is real, folks. Peter, when he was speaking of the wonderful hope that is God's people, the inheritance that doesn't fade away, reminds us that we're kept for it by the power of God. We cannot lose it. Notice in our psalm, if you will, again in Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3, an image, a picture of what God's care is like. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Very beautiful picture. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, even though I walk through, like it isn't green pastures now, it's not still waters, it's the opposite. It's the valley of the shadow of death, but even here, I won't fear evil because you're with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Now, folks, I'm going to say it again. Is this just nice poetry? Does this just sound nice at a funeral, but there's no substance to it? Because if that's all it is, it's junk. It's no good at all. Either this is real, or it's absolutely no good, and it's no comfort to you or I or all. Is it real that even though in the valley of the shadow of death, that God comforts his people? We'll turn to Psalm 116 now. I want you to see, folks, that this isn't just lovely poetry. It's absolutely real. Psalm 116. I hope you agree this morning with the very first words of this psalm. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. He inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. So is verse 4 of our psalm real? Notice verse 3 of Psalm 116. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of the grave laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God's merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest. The Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Notice, you've delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You see, folks, that's what our psalm in verse 4 declares without equal. I want you to look at Psalm 23, verse 4 again, and I want you to consider the first two words. Even though. What's David done? What's he doing here? He's doing what you and I call worst case scenario. That's what he's doing. You see, cancer's bad, Alzheimer's is bad, and we can list a whole lot of bad, bad things, can't we? This is the big one. This is where the cancer ends up. This is where the Alzheimer's goes. This is the valley of the shadow of death. And what's David say? Even though. Worst case scenario, what's he saying? Even here. Even now. Even this. Even where no one else can help me. Even here, your care is not lacking. It's a deep valley. There's shadow. It's gloomy. Death is at the end of this valley. There's evil. The fear's real. But there's something that helps me above it all. You are with me. You're my shepherd. You care for me. One old saint said, even death with all its gloom will not find me destitute. You're with me. You see, folks, that's what the Lord is my shepherd conveys. That's the comfort it is to God's people. Well, you might ask, you know what, Andy, I'd love to believe what you're saying here, but how can I know that God is with me? Well, how can the sheep know the shepherd's there? Two things, his voice and his staff. And that's what we read. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Here's how I know: your rod and your staff, they comfort me. By the voice and by the rod of correction of the shepherd, the sheep are reminded he's there. They're not wandering aimlessly. They're being directed. They're kept from the perils and all the rest. He is there. That's what it conveys. But folks, how can God care so deeply for his people? You see, sheep are used by illustration here on purpose, because as sheep wander on their own, so do sinful hearts. We wander away from God, not to him. So how can God care so deeply? Did you notice the end of verse 3? He leads me in paths of righteousness because I'm a real nice little preacher boy and I try really hard and I always put out the garbage on Friday. No, he does it for his name's sake. That's how God cares so deeply. It isn't performance-based on my part. It's not if I have a good week, if I remember to read my Bible, then the Lord will take care of me. No, the Lord takes care of me on my worst days, when everything's wrong, and he does it for his name's sake, not because I'm a good little boy. What have you been singing all these years? The protection of his child and treasure is a charge which on himself he laid. That's what you've been singing. Well, why have these things been such a comfort to so many for so long? Why have they been? Someone with a lot more brains than me said this: the hardest experience in life is not suffering itself, it's loneliness in suffering. That's what's the hardest about it. But that's where this truth is wonderful. Because contrary to that, the absolute worst things can be borne in life if you know that you're not alone. This is where our hymns come from. I never walk alone. Christ walks beside me. Abide with me, nearer my God to thee. Now I belong to Jesus. We can abide all that comes. Why? Because he's with us. One more time, turn to Psalm 18. I want you to be convinced this morning that what we're reading is not mere nice-sounding poetry. It is real. Psalm 18 and verse 4, written by the same David, and notice what he says. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of the grave entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry reached his ears. Verse 16, he sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me. They were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. You see, folks, verses 2 to 5 of our psalm make very clear that God's shepherdly care is regardless of circumstance. There is, you remember how Paul ends Romans chapter 8, lists all the terrible things that can happen in life, including death. He says, even this cannot separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So you can go to worst case scenario, but that can never take you where God's care will ever forsake you, because that never happens to God's people. And we have proof in verse 5. Kind of an interesting verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What's that all about? You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now, for most of us, we'd probably say, hey, I don't know why they even included that verse. It seems out of sync with the rest of the psalm. But this phrase, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, simply means that there's no circumstance that can come upon me unawares. I might not see it coming, but my God does. So I'm always prepared, even though physically and in myself I can't and I'm not and I don't know what to do. My God always does. But what about this statement? You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Let's be honest, folks, that doesn't mean a thing to anyone here, does it? Doesn't. But you know what it meant in the Eastern culture in which this was written? It's absolutely very beautiful. If I was a guest in your home today in Eastern culture, when I came in, you would take very expensive, fragrant oil, and you would pour it over my head. That was a sign that I was welcome and loved and respected. Then you would put a wine glass in my hand and you would purposely overflow it to show abundance of provision as long as I'm in your house. Isn't that beautiful? That's God's care of his people. But folks, again, I want you to see this isn't just old imagery. What did Paul say? In Philippians 4, he admits to having some tough times, but what do we hear from his mouth? He says, I've received full payment. I shall not want. Then he says, I've received full payment and more. My cup overflows. I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied. Folks, this isn't religious talk. This is God's care of his people. It does not fail. But there's one more thing to consider. This wonderful truth is not just great for the here and now. I hope you're convinced that it is. But folks, this truth is even greater because of where it's taking us. Look at verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Maybe we should stop there. There's some days, Christian, when you don't think that's the case, isn't it? There's days when you don't think the Lord cares. He seems to you to be out of touch. I want to assure you that his goodness and mercy follows us all the days, even when you don't see it, even when you don't perceive it, maybe you don't feel it like you wish you did. All the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, this great shepherdly care of our God is not just for here and now. It's for all eternity. What I'd like you to do now, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 10. Gospel of John chapter 10, and there's a good reason for this. What we've seen in the psalm from David, I want you to hear in the Gospels by the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, you're going to hear what we've seen in the psalm. John chapter 10 and verse 7. So Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I shall not want. How can this be? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, but it doesn't stop there. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who's given to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The first five verses of our psalm are the abundant life we've just read of. Verse 6 is the eternal life that we've just read of. But you notice how our verse begins? The word surely, not your girlfriend's name. Surely means certainly, securely, and safely. So if you're in Christ, certainly, securely, safely, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalmist said, but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. Moses wrote, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And the psalmist ends this by saying, I shall dwell, which means to sit down in quiet, in the house of the Lord forever. This is what the old Puritan Richard Baxter called the saints' everlasting rest. This is where the sheep don't wander anymore, where they never lack for all eternity, and they see the great shepherd face to face. Do you know what's interesting, folks? This is one of about nine messages. The wonderful truth of the Lord my shepherd isn't confined to this one psalm. You'll find it throughout the scriptures. And interestingly, we even have a benediction that includes this. Listen to the last verses of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And I hope you don't mind. Amen. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, would there be any way to possibly thank you for such things? Not enough that your own son would die in the place of your people, carry all my guilt and sin and shame and nail it to his cross, but you wouldn't leave me just to do my best here and now, Father, because you know my best doesn't go very far. But you would be the shepherd, the carer, the nurturer, the deliverer of your people. We never walk alone. We're never alone, even when we think it, Father. Even when circumstances would overwhelm and it would seem that every other help has abandoned us, we're never alone. The Lord is our shepherd, and we could never thank you enough for such a blessed keeping. We praise thee in Christ's name. Amen.